ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं चैव ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। Om. Good. Welcome back. We continue in this section of the Udyoga Parva leading up to the battle. By the way, I mentioned in the meditation session that today is the day we celebrate Gita Jayanti. Look at the next parva, the next book. The Bhishma Parva is the first book of the war. The Bhagavad Gita takes place in the Bhishma Parva. We're almost there. We're getting there, back to where the Bhagavad Gita occurs. Okay, just to set the stage, as it were, for today's class. So far in this section, we've, if you remember from prior class, Dhritarashtra wants to avoid the war and sends Sanjaya to go and negotiate with Yudhishthira. Now, Yudhishthira wants to avoid the war on his own terms. So he recognizes the horror of war, but at the same time, he's not willing to conform to dharma. So his desire to avoid war is conditional. Conditioned on what? Avoiding being forced to conform to dharma is his condition. And as we saw in the last class, Yudhishthira also wants to avoid war, but Yudhishthira also has a condition. Dhritarashtra's condition is he gets it his way and doesn't have to conform to dharma. Yudhishthira's condition is he gets it his way and they conform to dharma. So Dhritarashtra wants peace without dharma. Yudhishthira wants peace with dharma. These are the two positions we've seen. Now in today's class, we're going to see Sanjaya's position, which is a third position, different from those two positions. Then we're going to see Lord Krishna's position, which is yet different. We'll see all of this as the verses continue. Before we see Sanjaya's position on the war, in the last class I mentioned that Sanjaya is referred to as Sutaputra. The putra, the son of a suta. Of Suta has several meanings, one of which is charioteer. Sanjaya is a charioteer, and the reason he's a charioteer is his father was a charioteer. I made mention in the last class that Sutaputra is more often in our minds associated with Karna, who is also called Sutaputra, and I misspoke in the last class when I said at some point that Karna, called Sutaputra, I said his true father is a charioteer. His true father, of course, is Surya. You know the story well. So his foster father, his name was Adhiratha, who was a charioteer. And of course, only Kunti, at this point in the story, only Kunti knows that Karna's father is Surya. Everyone else thinks that this Adhiratha, this charioteer, is Karna's father, therefore he is called Sutaputra. Okay, just to clarify that point in the last class. With that, we can continue and see now Sanjaya's position. So Sanjaya comes to Yudhishthira. He comes as an emissary of Dhritarashtra, but he has his own opinion also. So first, he told Yudhishthira Dhritarashtra's position. Now he's going to share his own position, what he thinks Yudhishthira should do. Sanjayo vacha, Sanjayo na ched bhagam kuru. I'm sorry. Oh, we're still in the long meter. Na chet bhagam kuruvo nyatra yuddhat. Na chet bhagam kuruvo nyatra yuddhat. Prayachanto tubhyam ajata shatro. Yayachante tubhyam ajata. Bhaikshacharyamandakavrishniraje Shreho manye natu yuddhena rajyam. Shreho manye natu yuddhena. So, Sanjaya gives his own opinion about what Yudhishthira should do. Of course, everyone has an opinion, right? When your friends and relatives also have opinions, so now Yudhishthira is going to hear Sanjaya's opinion. Who says, Chet, suppose, na bhagam prayachante kuravaha. Suppose Kuravaha, the Kauravas, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and the rest, suppose the Kuravahas na prayachante will not give bhagam, your portion of the kingdom. The portion of the kingdom that rightly belongs to the Pandavas. Suppose they won't give that, the Kauravas won't give that, tubhyam, unto you, ajata shatro, O mighty Yudhishthira. Suppose they won't give your portion of the kingdom to you, anyatra yuddhat, without war. Suppose they won't give your portion, which means suppose they won't conform to dharma, which is Yudhishthira's condition. Yudhishthira's condition is they must conform to dharma for the sake of peace. So Sanjaya says, suppose they won't, short of fighting a war, suppose they will not give you, they refuse to give you your portion of the kingdom, then what should you do? And here comes Sanjaya's opinion. In the last line, Shreyaha manye. I consider the best course of action, Shreyas. I consider the best thing to do is what? Bhaikshacharyam. Begging for alms. Huh? This is Sanjaya's opinion. Shreyas manye. I consider the best option for you, Yudhishthira, to be Bhaikshacharyam. Begging for alms where? Andaka Vrishni Rajye, in the kingdom of Andaka Vrishni, Krishna's kingdom. So the idea is that if Yudhishthira were to abandon the kingdom and go to Sri Krishna's kingdom, Sri Krishna will take care of him and make sure that he gets alms. So begging for alms in the kingdom of Sri Krishna, where he will be safe and taken care of. Sanjaya says, Shreyaha manye, I consider to be the best course of action, natu yudhena rajam, but not gaining your kingdom, yudhena, by war. You should not fight for the sake of your kingdom. Instead, you should just give up the American expression with your tail between your legs, go to Sri Krishna's kingdom and seek refuge. So how shall we characterize Sanjaya's position here? Sanjaya is not really defending. Sanjaya's position is very similar, of course, to his boss. Who is his boss? King Dhritarashtra, he's the charioteer, his boss, so to speak, is King Yudhishthira, King Dhritarashtra. So his position is similar, but there's a slight difference. It looks like Sanjaya's position is unconditional peace. You just give up and go away. Unconditional peace. Don't fight, don't do anything, no demands whatsoever. This is Sanjaya's position, which Sri Krishna is not going to agree with, as we'll see shortly. Let's be very clear that being unconditionally committed to any worldly act is probably a mistake. Notice that word, unconditionally committed. To be unconditionally committed means you view the world as black and white. It's this or it's that. To have this unconditional, absolute position. And that's Sanjaya's position. Absolutely under no case, no situation at all, you should never even consider fighting a war. This is Sanjaya's absolute unconditional position, which turns out to be defective. Because life is not black and white. Life is really complicated. There are many, many complicated situations in life in which, even though war is terrible, war is hell, as they say, but even then, sometimes not fighting the war is a worse hell. Fighting war is hell. Sometimes not fighting the war is a worse hell. I think in American history, a good example of this is the United States in 1939, 1940. World War II had begun in Europe, and the prevailing feeling in this country was don't get involved. In 1939 and 1940, Americans were reading every day in a paper about these horrible, horrible battles going on in Europe. And Americans felt, no way. And I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about the general American populace was adamantly against getting involved in a war. It was an absolute position. The United States, under no conditions whatsoever, should be involved in a European war. Americans were still perhaps feeling bad about World War I, which was very bloody, and some Americans felt like America had been unfairly drawn into World War I, some people thought. So therefore they said, let us absolutely not get involved in this World War II, which turned out to be the wrong position. So imagine you write your own history book describing how the world would look like today if the United States did not get involved in World War II. You write that book. What kind of world would you describe had the United States not been engaged in World War II? So the point here is Sanjaya's position is one that is absolute. Pujaswami Dayananda had an interesting term for it. He called positions like this non-thinking positions. You know, you're just blindly committed to something without thinking it through. And I'll just tell you a quick anecdote since it relates to this. In fact, relates quite well. This is way in the early 1980s. You remember that this country was still deeply entrenched in the Cold War, even in the early 1980s. So which means nuclear war was a constant threat, and the government, both governments, Soviet government and United States government, were building up these incredibly huge nuclear arsenals. Well, in the early 1980s, I was an ex-hippie living in California. I met Pooja Swamiji, and in some satsang, we were talking about how the United States should withdraw from all of this investment in nuclear armaments. And we were dumbfounded when Pooja Swamiji says, why should the United States do that? And he actually made an argument for the United States to remain strong. And therefore, the United States should have a nuclear arsenal. I was outraged. I couldn't believe this great saint from India is talking about how the United States should have a huge nuclear arsenal. I thought it was blasphemy. So I went and talked to one of his senior disciples and said, "What is he talking?" And she made the most astute observation, which I remember to this day. And she explained, she said, "You know, I know him very well. He doesn't really favor nuclear weapons for all the obvious reasons. So I asked, why is he taking this position then?" He said, she said, she explained, "He detected in me, and perhaps some others, an absolute position, what he would call a non-thinking position. And it is his job as guru, wherever he sees wrong thinking, a non-thinking position, to address that problem." So according to her, and in retrospect, she was absolutely right. You know, I didn't know him well in the early 1980s, but as I came to know him well, I know for a fact that if he encounters someone who's rigid in some point of view, he'll attack that point of view. Because in his position, from his perspective, you should always have an open mind to reconsider everything at all times. The problem with these absolute positions, like absolute pacifism, which seems to be Sanjaya's position, the problem with it is, and that was apparently my problem too, as the ex-hippie in California. You know, ex-hippie means out of the Vietnam War protests, where we were just against war. But when you're against war, I was probably 16 and 17 years old at that time. How much did I understand about war? What did I really understand about world history at that age? Nothing. So this is what he means by a non-thinking position. So I had grown up as a child of the 60s being against war on principle and not being against war upon reflection and consideration. So this is what Pooja Swamiji was attacking, is this non-thinking, dogmatic, rigid clinging to any position whatsoever. Okay, enough said. This is Sanjaya's position. So Sanjaya has this non-thinking, unconditional position, unconditional peace. We continue. Avyadijam katukam shirsharogam. Avyadijam katukam yasho musham papa polo dayam cha. Yasho musham papa polo satam peyam yannabipantyasanto. Santam peyam yannabipantyasanto. Manyum maharaja piba prashamya. Manyum maharaja piba. Look at the last line. Maharaja, O great king, Yudhishthira, being addressed by Sanjaya. Manyum piba. Manyu means anger. And he says to Yudhishthira, manyum piba. Piba is to verb to drink. To drink anger, the American idiom is swallow your anger. That's the idiom. Manyum piba, O Yudhishthira, you should swallow your anger. We'll talk at the end of the verse, what anger, but he's not angry. We'll come back to that. So what is Sanjaya saying? Sanjaya thinks that Yudhishthira is prompted by anger about having been deprived of his kingdom. He's angry, therefore he wants to fight. So Sanjaya says, manyum piba prashamya. Chill. Shum is to be quiet. Prashamya, quiet down. Simmer down. Chill. Manyum piba, swallow your anger. Why? Go up to the top. Because manyum, anger, he really describes it nicely. Sanjay's description of anger. He says, anger is shirsharogam. Anger is an illness of your head. Shirsharogam. And that word is often used for headache. In Sanskrit, if you want to say, I have a headache, you use this term, shirsharoga. I have a headache. What kind of headache? Katukam. A really, really bad headache. But a really, really bad headache that is avyadijam, not born of disease. Wonderful. Poetry. Anger is a terrible headache that is not born of disease. Nice. The poetry is just lovely. So, O Yudhishthira, you should swallow your anger. Why? This anger is a terrible headache, not due to disease. This anger is yasho musham, yashas, fame, musha, one that steals. This anger will rob you of fame and glory by leading you to do the wrong thing. And this anger is also papa pala udayam. Anger leads to doing sinful deeds, sinful actions. All of that is true. Sanjaya's characterization of anger is quite true. So therefore, he tells Yudhishthira, manyum piba, swallow your anger, Yudhishthira, prashamya, be at peace. And then to strengthen his point, he says, satam peyam yat, that anger which is peyam, swallowed by satam, by saintly people. Saintly people like Yudhishthira, anger is swallowed by saintly people, they pibanti. Saintly people swallow their anger, but na asantaha pibanti. Asantaha, those who are not saintly, na pibanti. They don't swallow their anger. Saintly people swallow their anger. Unsaintly people do not swallow their anger. O Yudhishthira, you are absolutely a saintly person. Therefore, you should swallow your anger and not fight this war. Now, on the surface, Sanjaya seems to be making a good argument about the problem of anger. The issue here, however, is Sanjaya has misread Yudhishthira completely. He is not angry. By the way, you can usually tell when somebody is angry. You know, their face is red and they're trembling, and it's pretty easy to tell when somebody is ready. Sanjaya has totally misread Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira is not angry. He's not driven by anger. Yudhishthira is a unique person among all people. He's driven by Dharma, and only by Dharma, and he will not let anger distort his judgment or thinking and cause him to veer from the path of Dharma. So therefore, and in other parts of the Mahabharata, Yudhishthira says again and again, you have to avoid anger for the sake of following Dharma, because anger can cause you to veer from the path of Dharma and do the wrong thing. So absolutely, Yudhishthira is not angry, but Sanjaya has misread, apparently, Yudhishthira. Sanjaya concludes, Papanubandham konutam kamayeta, Papanubandham konutam kamayeta, Kshamaiva te jayasi nota bhogaha. Kshamaiva te jayasi nota. Yatra bhishma shantavano hatasyat. Yatra bhishma shantavano hatas. Yatra drona sahaputro hatasyat. Yatra drona sahaputro hatasyat. Konu kamayeta, tam kamayeta. Konu, who, indeed. Tam kamayeta, kamayeta. Who would want that? That what? Papa anubandham, that which causes sin. Who would choose that which leads to sin? Such as, who would choose a war which would lead to sin? Ko kamayeta, who would want to go in that path leading to so much death and destruction, all of which are sins? Skip down to the third line. So who would choose that, yatra, a situation in which Bhishma, who is Shantavanaha, who is the son of Shantanu, Bhishma hatahasyat, would be killed. Who would choose a war in which Bhishma would get killed? Bhishma is the family patriarch for both the Kauravas and Pandavas. Bhishma would get killed in such a war. Yatra, also a situation in which Drona is the great teacher to both the Kauravas and Pandavas. So yatra, a situation in which Drona, Sahaputraha, along with his son Ashwatthama, Drona and his son Ashwatthama, hatahasyat, they would also be killed. All of these great, great people would be killed in this war. So who would choose such a course of action that would lead to such death and destruction and sin? And so Sanjaya concludes in the second line, kshama eva te jayasi. Te, for you, Yudhishthira, jayasi, what is best. The best thing, isn't it interesting? Everyone has advice. What's best for you? So here, and that's exactly what Sanjaya is telling. Yudhishthira is a king. Sanjaya is just a charioteer. But it doesn't stop him from being very directive and giving this advice. He says, Yudhishthira, te jayasi, what is best for you is kshama eva, forgiveness alone. As is in American English, forgive and forget. Just forgive and forget. Walk away from this terrible war. Go to Sri Krishna's kingdom. He'll take care of you there. You'll get your food and a place to live. So just forgive and forget. Walk away from all of this. So what is best for you, Yudhishthira, is kshama. Na uta bhogaha. What is not best for you is bhoga. Bhoga means enjoyment, specifically enjoyment of the kingdom. So you should turn your back on the enjoyments of the kingdom and turn your attention towards walking away, forgiving and forgetting. And here it looks to me like Sanjaya has misread Yudhishthira once again, because he uses the word bhoga, enjoyment. And certainly being the king of a prosperous kingdom is a lot of enjoyment. Is that what's driving Yudhishthira? So Yudhishthira is this unique character, as I said before. He's not driven by anger, nor is he driven by greed and desire. He's not driven to enjoy the kingdom. He's driven by dharma and dharma alone. So what Sanjaya says here looks like a bit of a false accusation when he says, na uta bhogaha, what is not best for you is enjoyment, as if Yudhishthira is driven to regain the pleasures of the kingdom. That is not the case. Yudhishthira is not driven in that way. So this is Sanjaya's advice and his position of absolute pacifism. Now, we get Yudhishthira's response. Yudhishthira vacha, Yudhishthira vacha, yat kinchade tad vittamasyam prativyam, yat kinchade tad vittamasyam prativyam, yad devhanam tridashanam paratra,
yaddevanam tridashanam paratta prajapatyam trividam brahmalokam prajapatyam tridivam brahmalokam na dharmata sanjaya kamayetata na dharmata sanjaya kamayetata.
Look at the last line. Sanjaya, O Sanjaya, na kamaye, I do not want tat, that kingdom, I do not want to reclaim the kingdom, adharmataha, without following dharma. I do not want to reclaim the kingdom based on adharma. Notice there's a double negative in this sentence. I do not want to gain the kingdom based on a dharma. So suppose we get rid of the double negatives and say, I want to reclaim my kingdom based on dharma. And this is Yudhishthira's perspective. He wants the kingdom for the sake of restoring dharma. This is his driving force in life. He wants to reclaim the kingdom only for the sake of restoring dharma, not for the pleasures of the palace, nor for because of anger. He doesn't want to take revenge on the Kauravas who exiled them to the forest for 12 years. Do you think he has a basis for revenge? He could feel revengeful and angry. He doesn't. He is driven by dharma. In the last line, he says, I want the kingdom for the sake of dharma, for the sake of restoring dharma. And he explains, going back up to the top now, yat kinchat etat vittam asyam prithivyam. Asyam prithivyam, on this earth, yat kinchat vittam etat, whatever wealth is here on the world, nakamaye. You have to connect it to the last line. It says, I don't want whatever wealth is here in the world, I don't want it. Not only does he not want worldly wealth, which is expressed in the first line, but the second and third lines express divine wealth. What is divine wealth? Well, if there are other lokas, other realms where the gods live, I suppose they would have godly wealth. You know what human wealth is? So what would be godly wealth should be a great measure above human wealth. In the first line, he says, I don't want any worldly human wealth. No, he says, I don't want the godly wealth either. He says, yad devanam tridashanam paratra prajapatyam. There's a nice connection. He says, I don't want prajapatyam. To be prajapati means to be the master. I don't want to be the master, yad devanam, of the gods. I don't want to be the emperor. I don't want to be the emperor on earth, owning all the wealth of earth, nor do I want to be the emperor, devanam, over all the gods. Tridashanam, all of, he says, over all the gods, he says, how many? Tridasha, 30. Why he chooses the number 30, I have no idea. So take whatever 30 gods you want. He says, I don't want to be their master, paratra, there in heaven. I don't want to be the master of the gods. Trividam brahmalokam. I don't want to be the master of the third heaven, the highest heaven, which is Brahmalokam. I don't want to be the master of the highest heaven, being master over the 30 gods. So in this verse he's saying that he's not driven by wealth. In fact, he's refuting the prior verse where Sanjaya suggested he was driven by bhoga, enjoyment. So here he says very clearly, in the first line, whatever wealth is here on the world, I don't want it. And he says, whatever wealth and power and status is available in any heavenly domain, he says, I don't want it. What does he want? Kama ye, resolving the double negative. I want the kingdom for the sake of resolving, supporting dharma, he says in the last line. He continues.
Yadi hyaham visrajan Yadi hyaham visrajan syamagarhyo. Yadi hyaham visrajan syamagarhyo. Yudhyamano yadi juhyam swadharmam. Yudhyamano yadi juhyam swadharmam. Mahayashah keshavastad bravitu. Mahayashah keshavastad bravitu. Vasudevastu bhayorartha kamaha. Vasudevastu bhayorartha kamaha.
Those of you, many of you were in the meditation session. This is almost a paraphrase of the last verse that we saw, that chapter 2, verse 7, I think. Well, look at this. He in the first two lines, he admits that he's not completely sure about what is dharma. He says, yadi, if he indeed, aham, if I, visrajan, if I were to give up syam, if I were one who gives up the kingdom, if I give up the kingdom, would I be agarhyaha? Would I be blameless? In giving up the kingdom, would I be blameless? Yadi, or in the second line you see another yadi, or if yudhyamanaha, or if I fight, jahyam swadharmam, jahyam, would I abandon swadharmam, dharma, my own dharma, and the ultimate principle of dharma, ahimsa paramodharmaha. So here he is admitting the complexity of the situation. He says, which is it? If I abandon this war, would I really be blameless? Because in one sense, he's turning his back on dharma. An act of adharma has been committed leading up to the war. And instead of correcting that adharma, he would walk away and allow that adharma to remain. If that's so, would he be agarhyaha, blameless? First line. Second line. He says, yudhyamanaha yadi, but suppose I fight. If I fight, then jahyam swadharmam, then would I be sacrificing dharma by causing bloodshed and death? So he admits the complexity of the situation. We've discussed this many, many times in our Saturday morning sessions. We call this dharma sankata, a conflict in terms of dharma. If you take course A, it causes harm. If you take course B, it also causes harm. And when dharma is defined as not causing harm, what will you do? Well, here's the complexity. You're required to take the course of action that leads to the least harm. We've discussed this in some detail, but that's not clear to Yudhishthira. And he's smart enough, this is worth noting, Yudhishthira is smart enough to admit he's not sure. And he admits he needs advice. And let me share with you this cute story that I've used many times to illustrate this. You know, when you're driving someplace and you're getting lost, and you don't have this GPS thing in your car, you're driving and getting lost. If he's driving, She'll tell him, why don't you just pull over here and we'll get some directions. And what does he say? No, I know where we're going. And he proceeds to get more and more lost. This is the problem. If we're not sure, we should be prepared to admit we're not sure. That's true wisdom, is to admit when we're not sure. This false bravado of being all-knowing and in control is just arrogance. It's silliness, really speaking. So here, Yudhishthira does not have that kind of silly arrogance. He understands the complexity of the situation. He understands his own lack of clarity about which course of action will lead to the least harm. Will he cause less harm by fighting the war or less harm by not fighting the war? Admitting his confusion, he knows he needs advice. And where will he turn for advice? Well, he says, Maha yashaha keshavatu keshavaha tad bravitu. Let him decide. Let him say, bravitu. Let him say, let him decide what is the right thing to do. Him who? Keshavaha. Krishna, who is here called Mahayashaha, the one of great fame, the famous, the glorious Sri Krishna. Let him decide. Who is that? Vasudevaha. In the last line, that Krishna, Vasudeva. Why? Vasudevaha tu ubhayoho artakamaha. We have to break the words apart. Because Vasudeva wants artakamaha, wants the welfare ubhayoho for both sides, for both the Pandavas and Kauravas, which means Krishna is impartial. And being impartial and being Mahayashaha, being great, and being Sri Krishna, being an incarnation of Vishnu, he, tadbravitu, Yudhishthira says, let him decide. He will know what is best. Do you see the parallel between this and what we saw in the Bhagavad Gita in the meditation session? Nice parallel. So just as Arjuna sought advice of Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, here we are before the Bhagavad Gita takes place, and we see here Yudhishthira seeking the advice of Sri Krishna. And as I said in the meditation session, we can all seek Sri Krishna's advice. How do we get Sri Krishna's advice? Study the Bhagavad Gita. By studying the Bhagavad Gita, we are all blessed with Sri Krishna's advice. Okay. Yudhishthira continues. Idrishoyam keshavastatabhuyo. Idrishoyam keshavastatabhuyo. Vidmohyenam karmanam nishchayagnyam. Vidmohyenam karmanam nishchayagnyam. Priyaschana sadhutamascha Krishno. Priyaschana sadhutamascha Krishno. Natikrame vachanam keshavasya. Natikrame vachanam keshavasya. Idrishaha ayam keshava tataha. Tata bhuyaha, tata, O dear Sanjaya, ayam idrashaha keshavaha, this person, this sort of person that we know as Keshava, as Sri Krishna, he is bhuyaha, he is excellent, he is superb, meaning a superb source of advice and guidance. Prior verse said that he was impartial. And here, in a second line Yudhishthira says, Vidmaha, we understand that Sri Krishna is Nishchayagnyam. He is one who knows the clarity, karmanam, about what is to be done. He knows karmanam nishchaya. He knows the right course of action to be followed. He is Nishchayagnyam. He knows that. And not only that, he says, Yudhishthira says, Priyaha cha naha. We like him. So, naha, for us, he is priyaha, he is loved. So we're very fond of him. And also he is sadhu tamaha, he is pure-hearted, he is holy. That Krishna who is sadhu tamaha, most virtuous, and priyaha cha naha, and he is dear to us. And Yudhishthira concludes, na atikrame, I will not transgress. Keshavasya vachanam, I will not transgress the direction of Sri Krishna. Whatever Sri Krishna says, I will do that. Very significant in our understanding of dharma. Here, Yudhishthira first recognizes that he's not certain about what is dharma. He puts his faith in Sri Krishna, and in doing so, he sets aside his own agenda. Whatever agenda he might have, if he has any agenda to get the kingdom, if he has any agenda for revenge, if he has any agenda for enjoyment, all such agendas are off the table, so to speak, and he puts it entirely in Sri Krishna's hands. And here the message for us all is, how can we follow dharma if we have an agenda other than following dharma? So if we are focused on fulfilling this desire or that desire, if we have a personal interest, a selfish interest, the presence of that personal selfish interest will prevent us from really seeing what is the right thing to do. Our own minds are biased. Our own minds become biased by our own likes and dislikes, our own needs. The only way to really follow dharma is to set aside all of our mental biases, so to speak, and see with an objective mind what is dharma in the situation. So, Yudhishthira has finished his reply to Sanjaya. Sanjaya, who said, oh Yudhishthira, you should just walk away from this with your tail between your legs. Go and live in Sri Krishna's kingdom where he will take care of you and protect you. You should swallow your anger. Yudhishthira's response is, I'm not in this for anger. I'm not in this for possessions. I'm in this for following dharma. I want to follow dharma. The only reason I want the kingdom is for the sake of protecting dharma, restoring dharma. But he further admits that he might be a little confused, since fighting the war causes so much harm. Not fighting the war means not restoring dharma. So he says, let's ask Sri Krishna, who is conveniently standing there. In the midst of this dialogue, remember, Sanjaya sent as an emissary from Dhritarashtra, so Sanjaya and Yudhishthira have been engaged in this dialogue. Sri Krishna is sitting there listening to it all. And now we get Sri Krishna's response. Vasudeva vacha, Vasudeva. Kamo hi me Sanjaya nityameva. Kamo hi me Sanjaya nityameva.
nanyat bruyam tan prati shamate shamyateti nanyat bruyam tan prati shamyateti sudushkaras chatra shamo hinunam sudushkaras chatra shamo hinun pradarshita sanjaya pandavena
In the first line, O Sanjaya, me kamaha nityameva tan prati shamyata na anyat bruyam. He says, Me nityam eva kamaha, my constant desire, bruyam, what I have always said, my constant desire is tan prati, towards them, for them, they should have what? Shamyata, they should have peace. My constant desire is that they should have peace. Na anyat bruyam. I've never said anything else. Na anyat, nothing else, bruyam, have I ever said, that other than the fact that they should have peace. Who should have peace? I would cross, if you have the printout, cross off Pandavas, because tan, plural, would mean Pandavas and Kauravas, for all of them. Remember, he's impartial. Yudhishthira said so in a prior verse, so it's not like he only wants peace for the Pandavas. He wants everyone to be peaceful. He wants everyone to be happy and healthy, etc. He wants what is best for everyone. Na anyat bruyam. I've never said anything else except both the Pandavas and the Kauravas should both enjoy peace. And in the last line, O Sanjaya, this peace has been pradarshitaha, demonstrated Pandavena, by Pandava. Here refers to Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira himself has pradarshitaha, he has demonstrated this shama, now in the third line, this shamaha, this peace. The peace that Sri Krishna has been proclaiming and wanting for everyone, he says that nunam, certainly, this peace, shamaha, has been pradarshitaha, demonstrated by whom? Pandavena, by Yudhishthira, even though demonstrating this peace, which means being peaceful, abiding in peace, has been dushkaraha cha atra, here in this situation, remaining at peace has been dushkaraha, very difficult. The point Krishna is making here is Yudhishthira has been prompted to war long ago, before the exile to the forest. The Kauravas were already doing all kinds of nasty mischief to the Pandavas, and the Pandavas did not retaliate before the exile to the forest, nor have they retaliated after the exile to the forest. And it's very difficult for a mighty king like Yudhishthira to resist the temptation to retaliate. And it's not only difficult for a king like Yudhishthira to resist, it's difficult for everyone. When you have been wronged, and there's an opportunity to retaliate in a way that you can get away with, it's hard to resist. Again, when you've been wrong, they call it kind of like righteous anger. Righteous anger is still anger. What is righteous about anger? What an interesting expression, righteous anger. Like righteous greed, righteous murder. Yeah, what is? It's not righteous. It's not. Anger is anger. Greed is greed. Murder is murder. Don't call it righteous. So even though you have been wronged, does that justify retribution? And isn't retribution generally taking a bad situation and making it worse? Exactly. This is what goes on in a lot of civil courtrooms, right? Somebody has been wronged. And what will they do? I'm going to sue you. And what does the other party do? Fine, I'm going to counter-sue you. And what happens is both parties end up in court for the next 5 years, and the only people who win are whom? The lawyers. Exactly. So the message here is retribution, even when you've been wronged, retribution is no solution. And that is what Sri Krishna is pointing out here about Yudhishthira. And that is Yudhishthira has followed the course of peace, shamaha comes in the third line, even though it has been sudushkaraha, it's been very difficult for Yudhishthira to stay on the path of peace and avoid retribution, but Yudhishthira has consistently done so, and this is what Sri Krishna tells, and he's addressing Sanjaya. So Sri Krishna addresses Sanjaya and says, it's always been my intent that the Pandavas and Kauravas should be at peace. And look at this Yudhishthira. He has worked for peace. He's avoided retribution. But there is a but coming. Yada gridhyet parabhumim nrishamso. Yada gridhyet parabhumim nrishamso vidhi prakopat balam balam hadadanaha vidhi prakopat balam hadadanaha tato rhagyam bhavita yuddham etat tato rhagyam bhavita yuddham etat tat Tatrajatam varma shastram dhanuscha. Tatrajatam varma shastram dhanuscha. Sri Krishna observes, yada, when nrishamsaha, a cruel person here means one lacking in empathy, lacking in compassion, lacking in understanding of the other person's position, nishamsaha, such a person. When such a person, like whom? Maybe like Duryodhana would be a good person to have in mind. When a person who is nishamsaha, and Duryodhana was the most self-obsessed person imaginable. He didn't care about the consequences of his actions. He didn't care how his actions affected others. So he employed Shakuni to organize this dice game and cause the Pandavas to be exiled. What a terrible fate for the Pandavas. Do you think Duryodhana worried? Did he lose any sleep over that? Certainly not. So Duryodhana was nrishamsaha. He was cold-hearted, not concerned about how his behavior affected others. When such a person gridhyet, covets what? Parabhumim, the land of another, the kingdom of another. When such a person, like Duryodhana, covets the kingdom of another, para means other, but in this case, Yudhishthira. So when Duryodhana covets the kingdom of Yudhishthira, then what? And does so how? Vidhi prakopat. Arrogantly ignoring the law. Vidhi here means law. Ignoring civil law and ignoring dharma, and balam adadanaha, adadanaha, taking that kingdom, balam, by force. Then what? Tataha, then, Sri Krishna says, etat yuddham, this war, ragnyam, amongst the kings, bhavita, will be. It is inevitable. Sri Krishna says, in such a situation, war is inevitable. I'll make some comments. So let's see the last line. So he says, when there is a king, why king? When there is any person who doesn't care about how their behavior affects you, when they are insensitive, when they are self-obsessed and uncaring, and when they covet something you have, and Vidhi Prakopat, when they ignore the law and dharma, and when they adadanaha, when they take your possessions, balam, by force, then what? Sri Krishna says, etat yuddham bhavita ragyam. He says, in such a situation, with regard to you, we'll say not war is inevitable, conflict is inevitable. If somebody who doesn't care about how their behavior affects you, somebody who takes your property by force in arrogantly ignoring the laws, Sri Krishna says, in such a situation, war is inevitable, conflict is inevitable. Tatra, in such a situation, jatam, what will arise, is varma, shastra, and dhanu. Dhanush, bows, shastra, weapons like swords, and varma, interesting, varma means skin, the shields that they had in ancient times were covered in animal skin. So varma here means a shield. So war is inevitable. People are going to pick up their weapons and fight. Inevitable, why? Here, Sri Krishna very clearly says, when there has been great adharma committed, he says war is inevitable. War to address the adharma. So what is Sri Krishna saying? Remember the positions that Dhritarashtra and Yudhishthira had. Dhritarashtra's position is he wants peace, but he doesn't want to follow dharma. Yudhishthira's position is he wants peace, but we must follow dharma. And what is Sri Krishna's position looks very much like Yudhishthira's position. When there has been great adharma, war is inevitable. War, but watch this, from Sri Krishna's perspective, war specifically to remove the adharma. And that is the only possible justification for war. A war that is fought to prevent. Remember, adharma means harm. The simplest meaning of adharma is anything that is harmful. So if a war is fought to remove harm, and here's the final comment, and the really difficult one. War causes horrible harm. We all know that too well. But when not fighting a war causes more harm than fighting the war, then and only then it becomes a dharma yuddha, a righteous war. A dharma yuddha, as is the situation of the Mahabharata, a dharma yuddha is a sort of war in which not fighting the war causes more harm than fighting the war. Therefore, for Yudhishthira, not to fight the war would be a dharma. And that's where Sri Krishna leaves it here. We'll continue. Sri Krishna has some very beautiful observations in the next couple of verses. We'll see that next time we meet, next week. Some closing announcements. Tomorrow, Sunday, we have our programs for teens at 11 o'clock. 5 p.m., our mindful movement and meditation session. 6:15, satsang question answer. If you have any questions, I'll sit up for questions. I'll also remind you that our Tuesday night Vedanta class for studying Panchadashi will be beginning chapter 3 this coming Tuesday. And it's starting a new chapter. Any of you can join. Also, if you were attending chapter 2 and found it too difficult, you'll find chapter 3 is much easier and more accessible. So you're all invited to join us Tuesday night, starting this coming Tuesday for Panchadashi chapter 3. Library will be open after class. We'll conclude with our prayers.